across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers. What compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity, and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram, and welcome to a new episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai. In this series, we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami, translating into service to humanity. Today's episode is part 2 of a conversation with Mr. Sai Giridhar, a research scholar at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was first featured as part of Thursday Live in July 2015.
Another story that I heard, which is a very scintillating story. What happens is, for a long time, the monkey army along with Sugriva, Jambavan, they have stayed away from their home in Kishkindha. And they were all in Ayodhya, enjoying the hospitality of Sri Ram. And the time came when Sri Rama observed that all these monkeys and all, they were worried and concerned about their family members back in Kishkindha. So the Lord quickly sensed that it was time for them to return. So again he called everybody and gave them parting gifts one by one. And he advised Sugriva that it is time that they should go back to Kishkindha because their family members are waiting for them there. Sugriva and other army members of the monkey army and the bear army along with Jambavan, everybody paid their obeisance to the Lord and they were leaving for Kishkindha. And Hanuman was nowhere to be seen. In this whole thing, Rama was looking for Hanuman here and there, and finally he located him hiding behind a pillar. And Rama says, "Hanuman," and immediately, very shyly, with his head down, Hanuman very slowly walks towards Rama and comes, and he bows down. He's not even looking at Sri Rama's face, he's looking at his lotus feet as though he is reveling in some intense prayer to the Lord. And Rama said, "Hanuman, please look at me." And he lifts his head towards him and says, "Why were you hiding?" And when he lifted his head, he saw that his eyes were red and tears were flowing down Hanuman's eyes. Because Hanuman was not able to stand this what was happening. And he told the Lord, "Lord, if I have done some crime, if I have done some mistake, you give me a death sentence. That is more acceptable to me. But it is impossible for me to hear from your mouth asking me to go away from you." If you ask me to go away from you, I cannot take it, my Lord. I want to spend every moment of my life serving you. I cannot leave your presence even for a single moment. And hence I was hiding there because, please, my Lord, you give me death sentence, but don't ask me to leave my opportunity of serving you or to go away from your presence. This was the love of Hanuman. Rama, who was so overwhelmed by this love and servitude of Hanuman, lifts Hanuman and embraces him and says, "Hanuman, do you think I will ask you to go away from me? How can you ever go away from me? Do you know why I have asked them to go, Sugriva and others, back to Kishkindha? One, their family members were missing them. The other reason is, they were sitting here with me but contemplating on their family members.
Okay.
It is better that they go there and take care of their family and contemplate on me. Mm-hmm. Because contemplating on me will raise their level to higher levels of evolution in their spiritual journey. So it is better they go back to their family and contemplate on me rather than sit here and think about their family.
Yeah,
you know?
Very true.
And he says, but you, Hanuman, is there a single moment where you do not contemplate on me? There is nothing like that. And since you all the time think of me, all the time are engaged in Ramakarya, Rama Seva, there is no way that I can be separate from you, he says. And he gives him a beautiful embrace.
Mm.
And what can a devotee, a servant of the Lord, ask from the Lord more than an embrace from him?
Yeah.
A sense of union with him.
Literally.
You know, that is the most beautiful reward that a servant of the Lord can be given. The second aspect of having no expectation from the Lord out of the service that we render to him is a very important aspect of seva. The other thing which is also a key factor in seva is to have no sense of doership or ego. We all know this famous episode when Hanuman actually reaches Lanka in search of Mother Sita and he comes face to face with Ravana. And Ravana asks Hanuman to give his introduction to him. He says, who are you? Introduce yourself to me.
Yeah.
You know, Hanuman could have very well said, what is really a matter of fact and truth? He is an Amsha of Lord Shiva, whom Ravana worships.
Hmm.
And if Hanuman wanted, single-handedly he could have vanquished Ravana.
Yeah.
Single-handedly. Because he was the very Amsha of the Lord whom Ravana worshipped. He could have told, I am the one who is so mighty and powerful, in my one blow you will be brought down to the soil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have told like that to Ravana. But how did Hanuman introduce himself to Ravana? He said, Dasoham Kausalendrasya.
Mm-hmm.
I am merely a servant of the son of Kausalya. So that is how Hanuman introduces himself. Which means, in spite of all that seva that he had done, there was no ego or no sense of doership. In fact, once Rama wanted to test this attitude of Hanuman, not just test, but bring to the light to the whole world and humanity to know what should be the spirit behind service. This is a very rarely known episode, but it's a beautiful episode. What Sri Rama does is, in presence of everybody, all assembled there, after all the activities were done for the war, Sanjeevani Parvat was brought by Hanuman to save Lakshmana's life, Ravana was vanquished. In presence of everybody standing there, Rama deliberately prays Lakshmana. Mm. And he says that Lakshmana is my greatest servant. Nobody has served me better than Lakshmana. Hanuman was there.
Okay.
Nobody has served me better than Lakshmana. And there can be nobody in this entire world who can be a better example of servitude than Lakshmana.
Mm.
This was declared by Lord Rama himself. At this point, if there was an ordinary personality who had done tremendous service to the Lord, what would he think? He would think, if he were Hanuman, he would think, I gave life to this Lakshmana by bringing the mountain. I was the one who crossed the ocean and found Mother Sita in the first place. I have served Rama day and night, and the Lord is telling that, you know, the greatest servant is Lakshmana. This would be the thought of a mundane person, you know, an ordinary person, but not of a sevak of the Lord. The thoughts that went on in Hanuman's mind at that point of time is absolutely extraordinary, and it is an absolute requisite for every sevak of the Lord. Hanuman at that point, when Sri Rama was praising Lakshmana, had this thought, oh, so Swami is indicating to me that I have all the time served Sri Rama, my master, but Lakshmana too has been serving Rama incessantly. He too must be tired.
Hmm.
So which means in my everyday routine, I have to fix some time to serve Lakshmana also.
Wow. Beautiful.
Can one imagine this bhava, this feeling?
Hmm.
I have to take out some time in my daily schedule to serve Lakshmana also. Mm. Along with my service of my master Sri Rama. What purity in intentions. No sense of doership or ego in his seva. And this is an absolute prerequisite for seva.
In fact, when you are again and again telling about that we should not have doership, should not have ego. I'm just reminded of one incident that happened in Prashant Nilayam. This happened in one of the 5 years Swami's birthday, because every 5 years Swami's birthday will be celebrated in Hillview Stadium.
Yeah, grand celebration.
Yeah, grand celebration. So this was one such occasion. And the Sevadas that had come were from the state of Orissa. So these Orissa Sevadas, they are known for good sanitation in the ashram. Whenever they come, they take care of the sanitation work in the ashram.
Wonderful.
Which generally no one likes to do,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Cleaning the toilets.
It's usually the dirty job.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get their hands dirty.
Correct. So a group of sevadas, they were doing the sanitation work at one place. And what happened was the pipe got blocked somehow.
The drainage pipe.
Drainage pipe, yeah. Got blocked, and the drainage area where there was a pit, the dirt was getting collected there.
Oh, it must be overflowing.
Yeah, overflowing. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Huh.
Overflowing there. So to release the block was in the bottom of the pit.
Huh.
So somebody had to go down and release the block.
Into all that the sewage flowing there.
Correct. Dirt.
Yes.
So these sevadas, one of the sevadas, he didn't have any other thought. He just took off his shirt and he dived into the pit. And he went inside. In about 30-35 seconds, he removed the block and he came out. And without speaking anything, he just went to one of the bathrooms. He took a bath. Again, he was involved in the work. Uh-huh. Continued the work. So, like that, the birthday celebrations were over.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, whenever sevadas, after their sevadal duty, Swami gives them special darshan, special padnamaskar. So when Swami was giving padnamaskar, Swami, it seems, came directly to this person and Swami created a golden ring for him. And Swami told, see, for that one act of yours, you won't have any more birth.
My God, the highest blessings.
Yeah. Really, in fact, I heard it in the afternoon satsang session which Prem and Arvind conducted. Arvind was narrating this incident. I was just amazed to hear that just for that one selfless act of yours, you won't have any more birth.
This is a beautiful insight you have provided, because it basically means we really don't know which is that small act of selfless service which the Lord will be pleased with.
Mm.
And for the highest moksha or liberation, all that is required is the Lord should be pleased. That's
correct.
Isn't it?
Mm.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Extraordinary.
Sai Ram, you are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. And this is a conversation with Mr. Sai Giridhar, research scholar in the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Stay tuned.
Seva bhakti, seva ho bhakti, seva karam se hai jeevan mukti. Sai naam bhajo, sai naam japo, sai vachan apnao re. Krishna bhajan to tere taniye hi, veer paraye jaane de. एक आस हो सबके मन में, मन की प्यास मिटे साई दर्शन में. ज्योत से ज्योत जलाते चलो सब, कदम से कदम दिया रे. वैष्णव भजन जैसे रवि मरे, अरुण दुख मुनो सुखो. मधुर वाणी सबसे बोलो, झूठ का सहारा कभी मत लो. मौन रहो तो सबसे अच्छा, मन में विष तो मत बोलो. कृष्ण भजन बरुल दुख मनो दिल सुखो. मन अभिमान मधुर वचन हो सेवा धर्म हो, मन में तेज जो हो रे. वैष्णव जन तो
listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony, and let's continue to listen to the conversation with Mr. Sai Giridhar, a research scholar in the Sri Satya Sai Institute of High Learning.
There is one aspect that comes to my mind about seva, which, you know, all of our students often discuss about this, and many times Swami himself has given a direct answer to this. The question as to, does Swami choose, you know, those who are capable for doing his work or seva, or does he qualify or give the ability to those whom he has chosen?
Correct.
You know, this is a very famous debate, and many of our students all the time talk about it, discuss this. And thankfully for us, Bhagwan himself has given many clear directives regarding this particular question. And from Ramayana also, I remember this particular episode, where, you know, the monkey armies were being divided into four groups to go in four different directions in search of Mother Sita. And towards the south, Jambavan, Angada, Hanuman were supposed to go. And at that time, Sri Rama calls Hanuman and gives him his ring and says, when you find Sita, now see, the army is being divided into four groups with the best of the commanders in each of the group, right? They are going in all four different directions. But Rama point calls Hanuman separately, you know, and then gives him his ring and says, when you find Mother Sita, which means Rama has already identified that Hanuman is going to find Mother Sita,
correct.
Right? And he gives the ring to Hanuman and says, you show this ring to her and she will recognize that you are my Duta, that I have sent you as a messenger. So Hanuman takes the ring. At that point, we must all pay attention to the situation in the story of Ramayana. Hanuman was not aware of his powers at that point of time. It was not that Hanuman was all powerful and hence Rama gave the ring to him. At that time, he was an ordinary monkey person who was having, of course, great devotion for the Lord, and he was physically very powerful. But to fly across the ocean, or, you know, to do such a grand thing was something which was too much of an asking even from Hanuman at that point of time.
He was capable, but he was not aware.
He was not aware. Yeah. He was not aware. And in fact, it was because of a curse which he had in his childhood. In his childish prank, he was troubling many rishis and munis in and around the place where he stayed. Mm. So they got so annoyed that they cursed him that you will not remember your powers anymore.
In fact, he went on to eat the sun god also.
Yeah, he almost leaped to, you know, eat up the sun itself. Mm. So that is how naughty and prankish Hanuman was as a child. But as a result of that, of course, he got this curse. And at that point of time, if you see, where Sri Rama gave the ring to Hanuman, Hanuman was a very powerful person, yes. But he definitely did not know that he had the abilities to cross the ocean. In fact, it was reflected a little while later, when all of them were, you know, assembled on the shore and wondering who could actually go across the ocean. Jambavan said, in my youthful days I could have, but at this point I will not be able to do. Mm. Nala and Neela said, we can do 30 yojanas or 40 yojanas, not more than that. Yeah. You know, and Jambavan said, what is the use? You will fall into the ocean. You know.
Correct.
And then Angada said, I can muster the strength to make one leap of 100 yojanas, but I don't think I'll be left with the strength to come back.
Mm.
And he was the Yuvaraja, the crown prince of Kishkindha. So they said, no, no, that is not possible. We cannot leave you there. You know, you have to find and come back and report. So who would take up this grand task? You know, Hanuman was sitting in a corner and wondering who would do this. You know, how is it possible to happen? And at that point of time, Jambavan goes and he encourages Hanuman. He reminds him of his powers. And even the sages who gave him the curse said that when the time is ripe and when for Loka Kalyana his powers are to be used, if he is reminded of his powers, he will remember all his powers. In fact, in some way or the other, all of us are like that. In the sense that we really, Swami says, the entire potential, the divine potential is there in all of us. But all of us are living in a very forgetful state of that. And in this case, it is not Jambavan or any other commander in the monkey army, but Rama himself in the form of Swami has come to remind us of our power, of our real potential. And he has chosen us for this, his work. And when he chooses us for his work, he also gives us the strength to do it. In fact, there is a beautiful experience of Bhagwan which substantiates this. One of our faculty members was sharing this with us. When he was a student in Swami's college, every night before going to bed, they would have a satsang session. One of the satsang session, this was the topic. Whether Swami chooses those who are capable or does he, you know, give strength to those whom he chooses. And they came to a kind of stalemate and they were not in a position to decide what is the right answer to this. Next morning, this professor, this faculty member was a farm boy. That is, you know, he was very close to Swami. He had opportunities to serve Swami at that time. So what happened was, he goes to the interview room as usual. And Swami calls him, gives him a packet of sari, silk sari, and says, go and give this to the collector's wife who have just left from the interview room. So he takes the packet and goes out, wondering where will he find them. Swami just said, go and give it to them.
Hmm.
Now he is wondering, where will I find them? So suddenly he gets a yukti, an intelligent thought, that let me go and check with the accommodation where they were staying. So he goes to the accommodation office and he inquires. And they say that they were given accommodation in such and such place. You can go there and check. So he goes to their room and he finds it locked. But their car is there, outside the building. So the sevadar says, this is their car, but they have left somewhere, I don't know where they are. Now he gets a thought, a second yukti. That is, maybe, usually those days after having Swami's darshan, they would go for breakfast. So he goes to the South Indian canteen, and then checks and sees whether they are having breakfast there. Then they inform him, no, they had the breakfast and they already left. So they are not there in the room, they are not there in Mandir, they are not there in the canteen. In Prasandalyam, where could they be? Then another yukti comes into his mind. No, these thoughts are just flashing into him. And he feels that usually those days, all guests who come to Prasandalyam, after they take Swami's blessings, before they leave, they would also meet Kasturi Garu.
Okay.
You know, pay their respect to him and then proceed. So this thought comes to him and he goes to Kasturi Garu's house. And there he finds the collector and his wife seated there, and he gives the prasadam which Swami sent, the sari to the lady, and says, Amma, Swami has asked me to deliver this to you with his blessings. So she very lovingly accepted, and the student walks back to Mandir. And when he comes back, he sees a very interesting sight. All students those days used to sit right outside the interview room, you know, 1.1 as we say, just outside the interview room door, onward students used to sit. So Swami was standing outside the interview room and telling something to the students, and the students seated there were keenly listening to Swami. And Swami suddenly looks towards this boy, points towards him, and all of them have a good laugh. And Swami just walks into the interview room. So he was wondering why was everybody laughing, what was Swami indicating and all that. Then when he goes and sits next to one of his brothers there, they tell him, do you know, Swami told us that you first went to accommodation office,
okay,
found out where they were staying.
Oh.
He was giving a live commentary of what you were doing. Moment to moment, minute to minute, live commentary Swami was giving of what you were exactly doing and how these thoughts were coming in your mind. After some time, Swami, as usual, you know, as though he's innocent, he doesn't know anything, he opens the door and calls this student inside. So he says, oh, so you did all this, is it? He said. Then Swami said, sir, when I choose you to serve me, I also give you the strength to accomplish my work. So Swami then confirmed that those whom he has chosen, he automatically confers the strength to accomplish his work, however great the task might be. You know, that is one of the most beautiful lessons from Ramayana.
In fact, this is very true, that Swami first chooses his instrument and gives the strength to accomplish it. For many of us, it's like that, for many of Swami's students, right? So, brother, thank you very much, and I think this is a nice way to end the segment where Swami chooses the instrument first and gives the strength. In fact, today we have discussed only about Hanuman, I think, right?
Predominantly, yes.
Yeah. So, and in Ramayana, there are many, many more characters, I'm sure. Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna.
Absolutely.
And we can learn so much lessons of seva from those characters.
In fact, including Sri Rama himself.
Yeah.
Very few people talk about how Sri Rama was an epitome of seva. You know, maybe even that, yes.
So, shall we keep it for next week?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely, brother. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to revel in Swami's teachings, in thoughts of Bhagavan and his experiences. I don't think there is anything more sweeter than that. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
It's our pleasure, but please come next week also to talk more on the other characters.
Sure, brother. Thank you.
Sai Ram, you just heard an episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai, in which we brought to you a conversation with Mr. Sai Giridhar, a research scholar at the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was featured as part of Thursday Live in July 2015. Please do send in your feedback and comments. We look forward to emails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Om Sri Sai Ram. As we head to the period that united millions of us in pain and prayers in the year 2011, it is time to recall Bhagwan's message to us. Bhagwan Baba said his life was his message. Yet, he delivered his most compelling lesson in his passage from the finite to the infinite. Through the month leading to Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi on April 24, 2011, he chose to take upon himself the miseries of the human condition, the silent suffering of Mother Nature, the colossal contamination of our planet, and other unimaginable cosmic issues that defy human comprehension. In the process, he delivered the ultimate lesson in sacrifice through his ceaseless giving and forgiving. As a silent offering on this somber occasion, the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organizations India and the Sri Sathya Sai International Organization are observing the period from Monday, 28th March to Wednesday, April 27, 2016 as the month of giving and forgiving. When we pray and practice giving and forgiving with sincerity and fervor, His message will resonate and encircle the earth and all its beings. Let our acts of kindness include our winged, finned and four-legged fellow inhabitants of our planet and Mother Earth herself. Dear brothers and sisters, come, let us join and participate wholeheartedly in this offering of giving and forgiving at individual, family, samiti and Sai Center levels. Here are some suggestions you may wish to embrace. At individual or family level, you may include prayers. For inner and outer purification, chant Om Sri Sai Ram 108 times or more daily. For universal peace and harmony, chant Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu 11 times or more daily, concluding with Tri Shanti. As acts of kindness, you may place bowls of water or bird baths on balcony, veranda or outside and a fistful of grains or bird feeders for birds and animals. Carry an extra bottle of drinking water to share with a thirsty person. Put aside rice grains for Narayan Seva daily. Highlight Bhagwan's positive messages in a tasteful and respectful manner with appropriate audiences or groups. For contemplation, read Sai literature daily, talk less and meditate or spend quality time with nature more often, or download the Radio Sai app and tune in as often as possible, especially while traveling. At Samiti and Sai Center level, you may invite and encourage Balvikas, SSC students and families to participate in the chantings and service activities. Encourage Youth Wing to lead the chanting and create awareness of Giving and Forgiving Month. Invite every active member to participate in chants and collecting food grains for Narayan Seva. Local water projects can extend to cleaning of local tanks, lakes and rivers. Participate in tree planting, treatment of decaying trees. Rededicate ourselves to village Seva. Participate in awareness programs in slums regarding hygiene, caring for public property, nature, respect for women and the girl child. Adopt a needy family for rations, clothing, daily needs, milk, education for children, etc. If you are an animal lover, caring for an animal or bird or both and more. Conduct one weekly talk of 5 to 7 minutes before public bhajans on the importance of giving and forgiving. Highlight Bhagwan's positive and universal message in a tasteful and respectful manner at appropriate public places. Every moment of Bhagwan's life held out a million lessons for us, but none as strong as those of the month leading to His Mahasamadhi. Let us express our gratitude to our dear Lord Sai with the power of the message that He demonstrated through that agonizing period, namely, love lives by giving and forgiving. Let us make giving and forgiving our life mantra, and let us begin now, during this very poignant and sacred period of March 28th to April 27, 2016. Thank you and Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam.
Thank you. Namah Shivaya. अक्षरमिदं पुण्यं यः पठेत् शिवसन्निधो शिवलोकमवाप्नोति शिवेन सह मोदते
अनोखी सी धड़कन तुमा सांसों में बसती है तो मेरी माँ नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे साईं बदलाया दो न जाना कभी तुम